And I'm going to call this message, you already know if you got the text message earlier today, but we're going to call it Receiving the Promises. Receiving the Promises of God. Or maybe an alternate title to this message is Getting Bold About the Promises of God. You know, this past week, of course, I got home Monday night, but I started to dig back in, you know, and start working, you know, answering emails and things probably about Sunday evening and so on, and maybe a little before that, actually. And in the course of responding to some emails, this scripture was part of a response that I was giving to somebody. Somebody had a question regarding doctrine, and I got over here into Hebrews 8:6, and this scripture just seemed to, you know, jump out of my spirit. Excited me, just some things that, you know, of course, we've heard this verse over and over again, but some things that we might casually overlook if we're not careful. So let's go over there to Hebrews chapter 8. We're going to go to verse 6, and again, we're calling this message Receiving the Promises of God. All right, we quote this verse all the time, but sometimes we don't realize just what a benefit it is that we live in the New Testament that we live in. You know, the benefits that we have, the covenant that we have, the promises that we have are the best that God has ever given to human beings on this earth ever. Amen. And of course, we're living in the days, you know, right before the return of Jesus Christ. And so I'll tell you what, as though the we know the earth gets darker, society has gotten darker, but we know this, that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. And so we're living in glorious days. We're living in the days of the church on this earth, the power of God, the Holy Ghost on this earth, and the best promises that God has ever levied to human beings are available to you and me right now. Glory to the Lord. And what came out about this scripture is just how much God wants us to have His promises. And I know there's a lot of people that are walking through things right now. You're facing, you know, trials. People are going through physical trials or financial trials or marital trials or whatever it is. Well, you know what? Everything you're going through, there's probably hundreds of promises on that topic in God's Word. And He is just longing to see you walk into every single one of those promises. And so we're going to talk about tonight how to receive those promises. We're going to be reminded of the length that God has gone to make sure that we have those promises. Because I can tell you what, He wants us to have them more than we want to have them. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest misconceptions in the faith movement is that God is, you know, incredibly slow, or, you know, it just seems to take forever for God to do something or to respond. I'll tell you what, that's not what the Word of God says. God is not slack concerning His promises. Amen. And He wants us to walk in them. But how many of you know there's our part? We got to do our side to it. So let's go over here to Hebrews 8:6. We're going to go through several scriptures here tonight concerning the promises of God. And let's be reminded, again, nothing clever here tonight. Just to kind of embolden your faith, you know, to get some revelation so that when you walk out of here tonight, you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt God is performing His promises in your life. Amen. And so let's go to Hebrews 8, a familiar verse in verse 6. Of course, you hear me quote this around here all the time. This was one of many verses I was giving somebody as they had a doctrinal question. And as I read this scripture and as I typed it out in the email, it just kind of jumped off the page to me. And it says this. Now, of course, in Hebrews chapter 8, it's talking about the great high priesthood of Jesus Christ. And we know that we don't have a high priest on this earth anymore. We have Jesus, the high priest. You know, in the Old Testament, they had a faulty man in that role of high priest. You remember Aaron, of course, and the Levites. Aaron was the first of the high priests and the Levitical priesthood and so on. How many of you know that those men, they stood as a mediator between God and the people? But those priests, they were faulty. They had problems. They themselves were sinners. They themselves failed. But how many of you know we have a high priest now that never sinned, never failed? He is now the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, right? And He's there to build a bridge between God and to us to bring the promises across that bridge. Now look at this in verse 6. It says, "But now has He, Jesus Christ, obtained a more excellent ministry." And He's talking about a more excellent ministry than the priests of the Old Testament. All right. "By how much also He, Jesus, is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Okay? And this verse is talking about the Old Testament versus the New Testament. The New Testament is called the better covenant with better promises. And those promises are exactly what you have inherited, right? And can you bring up a verse for me? And we're gonna dance all over the place. We won't turn to every verse here, but Galatians 3:29 again is a verse that I quote around here all the time. But it says that if you are Christ and you are Abraham's seed, there it is. If you be Christ and you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Of course, going way back to Abraham, all of those promises. Now, how many of you know Abraham did not live under the Mosaic law? All right, he lived by faith, and it was imputed to him as righteousness. Now, we are the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. But I just showed you this verse to let you see that you've inherited these promises. Promises have been given to you. See, when people hear that they have an inheritance, they automatically start thinking about money. They start thinking about material things. They start thinking about houses or jobs and things. I'll tell you what, you have something so far greater than any natural inheritance. You have inherited the promises of God. And they will produce far more in your life. That, you know, it'll bless your natural life. It'll fill your natural life. Amen. And so I just wanted to show you that real quick, but over here in verse 6, it says that we have a better covenant that was established upon better promises. Everything about this covenant is better, all right? Think about what God did to show himself in the Old Testament. Think about what he did. When we think about the Old Testament miracles, sometimes we think that Old Testament miracles are the best miracles in the Bible. You know, sometimes we think, you know, the Jews back there in the Old Testament, I mean, they had the pillar of cloud by day. They had a pillar of fire by night that the Lord led them with. They had the parting of the Red Sea. They had manna fall from heaven. And they saw, you know, water come out of the rock. And of course, God wants us to remember those things. But how many of you know that those miracles pale in comparison when you compare what he did for us in the New Testament? He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He sent his son to this earth who lived a perfect life and then was raised again from the dead. That far exceeds what God did to provoke the faith for the Jews in the New Testament. He did those things to show them, hey, you can trust me. Look at the pillar of fire. Hey, I delivered you out of Egypt. Hey, I took you across the Red Sea. Remember when you read the Old Testament, how God would remind the Jews, even hundreds of years later, he would say, remember, I am he that led you out of Egypt. I'm he that took you across the Red Sea. I'm he that brought you over Jordan. I am he that, you know, led you to conquer the Canaanites. All those things that were even hundreds of years in the past, those things were used to provoke the faith of the Jews that lived hundreds of years after those facts, right, to put their trust so that they would receive the promises of God. So now if God would provoke the faith of the church that is on this earth today, he would say this, I am he that raised my son from the grave. I am he that gave my son to bear your sins, to carry your sickness and disease, to pay every debt that you ever owed. We are to look back to that resurrection, and we're to look back at it and say, that's why God's going to perform his promises in my life. Amen. We have a better covenant. Why? Because we have the greatest name that was ever given of God on this earth. All the names of God that were revealed in the Old Testament are second to the name of Jesus Christ. Right? We know over there in Philippians chapter 2 that he gave Jesus a name that is above every name. Whether things in heaven, whether things in earth, right? Every tongue will confess, every knee will bow. Amen. And so all the names of the Old Testament that God revealed in of himself, remember, you know, Jehovah, Elohim, you know, Al Shaddai, I mean, you could go on, Jehovah Rapha, all those names that he revealed in the Old Testament, those names are all secondary to the name of Jesus Christ. That name was not revealed until he was risen from the grave, right? Or given to the church in that authority. We are living in the best days that are on this earth to receive the promises of God. Listen, if I can't get you excited about that, then nothing will get you excited. Amen. We have a better covenant. We have a better name that was given to us. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the Word of God. We have the fivefold ministry offices. Praise the Lord. We have more revelation now in God's Word than we've ever had before. And God says, if you need convincing that I want to perform these promises in your life, look no further than back to the resurrection and the giving of my Son. All right. Listen, as great as it was that manna fell from heaven, as great as it was that water came out of the rock or the Red Sea was split, nothing compared to the resurrection of God's own Son. That's what's been given to us. Amen. You know, we have been given a greater guarantee of God's promises. You know, the guarantee in the Old Testament were those miracles that we've been talking about. But the guarantee of the New Testament is the resurrection. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We have better promises. We have a better covenant. We have better confirmation of why God will be faithful. We have far better ground to stand on and way more to provoke us to faith than any other human has ever had before the New Testament. Amen. Glory to God. We have more than the Jews had. We are living in post-resurrection times. We are living in the after effects of the greatest event that ever took place. And God did it for us. How much more shall He perform every single promise that you need in your life? Amen. I don't know. I'm just going to be fired up. Go with me. I quoted this verse earlier. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's start looking at the things that God will do to provoke us to believe Him for these promises. Because ultimately, the goal of this message is to get you a little bit bolder. Right? A little bit bolder. Because there's things that come. Our circumstances, feelings start making people shaky about what they're going through. Listen, there is no need to get shaky in this life. If you are a born-again Christian, and if you will believe, you are on solid ground. You are on the best ground that God has ever provided to anyone in history. Amen. You know, go over to 2 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 9. Of course, I quoted this just a few moments ago. And we usually, you know, we use this verse to talk about salvation and that how God wants to save everybody. It's the will of God that everyone be saved. Of course, not everyone will be saved, but that doesn't mean it wasn't the will of God. God wants everyone to be saved. And so we quote this verse in reference to that. But let's read it. 2 Peter 3:9. You know, the first phrase here is what we're going to focus on. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we usually focus on that as we should. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can you bring this up in the Amplified version, please? Praise the Lord. I love the first statement in the Amplified. It says, the Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what He promises. Boom, there it is, right? No interpretation needed. You know, because one of the great misconceptions, and even in the faith camp, or, you know, folks of faith, you know, the faith movement, or whatever you want to call it, is that sometimes we get this idea, you know, God is slow, you know, He's slow to respond, and sometimes it just seems like it's never going to happen, and all that. No, the Bible doesn't say God's slow. The Bible says that He will not delay, He is not tardy or slow about what He promises. Meaning, you could say it this way, that God is greatly desiring to rush to get those promises into your life. You know, remember what He told Jeremiah over there in Jeremiah 1:12? He says, I will hasten my word to perform it. Right? He said, I will hasten my word. Where is that? Is it over in Luke chapter 18? Remember the woman that, remember the parable of the unjust judge? Remember how she came to Him, you know, day and night, and finally she said, unless this woman wears me out, I'll just give her the petition. And remember what Jesus said? He said, you know, how much more will God not speedily avenge those that come to Him day and night? Speedily? Speedily? Praise the Lord. Yeah, of course there's patience in it. Of course there's times, you know, where it doesn't happen instantly or things don't manifest in a day. But we understand that God has a desire to get those things to you. And you know what? Boldness in faith says, I have it now. See, that's where God wants us to get to, a place where we're so much in faith, so much in trust of Him, we've almost forgotten about the manifestation of it. You know what I mean? Where we are so secure in it, it's like the manifestation of it in the natural realm is no longer a concern to us. Amen. But I wanted to, when I, you know, was studying that in the Amplified, it says, the Lord does not delay, is not tardy, He is not slow about what He promises. Imagine saying that back to God. Father, I don't believe you're slow with your promises. I don't believe you're tardy. You know, sometimes because Christians feel like God's late. God's not late. Have you realized sometimes if things aren't, you know, cooking or, you know, things haven't, you know, happened or whatever, how many of you know, and of course I'm not saying this to put blame on people, but how many of you know it's never a problem on God's side? I mean, do you believe that God never misses it? God has not missed it with what you're believing Him for. He has not missed it with any problem that you're having. He is not slow or He's not the one. So often we're the ones that are delayed. He's just waiting for us to get bold. What if you stood before the Lord and say, you are not tardy, you are not slow, you are not delayed in what you have promised me? Oh, see, I'll tell you what, if you don't have boldness, you will not receive the promises of God. If you will not go to God and say, Father, I believe your word. What you said in here, I have it. Lord, your word says this. Read his word right back to him. He loves it. He wants you to receive these promises with boldness. All right? But I wanted to, you know, go to that verse, especially in the Amplified, because I just want to keep repeating it. God's not slow concerning his promises. He's not tardy. He's not delayed. He's not your problem. He is your help. He is your solution. He is standing on the edge of his seat, you could say, just wanting to get these promises into your life. Oh, my goodness. And the reason why many Christians fail to receive the promises of God is because they have not stood up and gotten bold. I don't mean arrogant or, you know, like rude or demanding with God, but you stand up and you say, Father, I believe it. You are not slow. Listen, if something seems to be delayed in your life, I just double dog dare you. Wow, I said it. I double dog dare you. You know, to get bold with God and stand up, read his word, you know, to him and say, Father, I believe this is what I receive right here. Oh, I'll tell you what. This is what just kind of, you know, went off in my spirit this week, is that Christians are slow when it comes to boldness in receiving the promises of God. We have the greatest motivation to believe that God is going to perform his promises in our life because you are living after the fact. The greatest moment on earth or anywhere has taken place. It changed the landscape of this entire earth. Your entire calendar is based on when Jesus was born. Every time you sign and date a check, it's based on the day of Jesus. This world is still debating over him. Come on. He is still the great cornerstone or the great stumbling block. I mean, the devil is still trying to stir up people against him. Come on now. The name of Jesus is still feared and revered. Right? Come on now. You are living post-resurrection. So you look back and you say, my goodness, 2,000 years ago, there was a spiritual atom bomb that was detonated upon this earth. And now I know the effects of it are still alive and well in this day and hour. And so if he raised his son from the dead on my behalf, how much more can I boldly believe him to heal my body, pay my bills, raise up your business, whatever it is. Amen. Glory to God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's go over there to verse 20. Again, we're talking about the promises of God. They're better promises, and he's not slow with them. You could say it this way. They're the best promises and the best motivation that humans have ever had to believe God. If he gave his son for you, why wouldn't he do the rest? Glory to God. Amen. And so your boldness needs to be provoked to speaking. There's got to be something coming out of your mouth. There's got to be some boldness somewhere. No, I'm not talking about you got to, you know, stand up and perform for somebody, you know, in public. Or, I mean, even if it's just boldness with you and yourself, you know what I mean? You're just somewhere, you got to get alone with God, and you got to speak these promises, and you got to boldly take God at his word. I told you, nothing clever here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. I was over there in 1 Corinthians. I meant to get over there to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1 and verse 20. Praise the Lord. Now, the King James kind of says it in broken old English here, but we'll put it in modern English for you. It says, "For all the promises of God," here they are, "in him," this is talking about in Christ, "for all the promises of God in Christ are yea." Now, let's put that in modern English. They are yes. Yes. All right. How many of the promises of God are yes in Christ? All the promises of God are yes in Christ. And in him, amen. Now, see, you think that amen is just a churchy word that we use to, you know, cheer for our pastor or something like that. That's not what the word amen is. The word amen means utmost truth. It means this is true. All right? So all the promises of God in Christ are yes. They are ultimate truth unto the glory of God by us. Let's put this in a more modern translation. Can you bring up the Amplified, please? And we'll just take a look at it over there. It says, "For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes, their answer in Christ." For this reason, because Christ died and rose again, because that's your motivation to believe the promises of God, for this reason we also utter the amen. So be it. To God through him in his person and by his agency to the glory of God. We could even simple it down a little further. It says all the promises are yes in Christ, and the amen, or the truth of it, is spoken by us to the glory of God the Father. So what is it that brings God glory? It's us speaking the promises of God. Oh, man. And every single, now, the promises of God are not finding their yes, you know, in the parting of the Red Sea anymore. They're not finding their yes in the, you know, the manna that fell from heaven. All right. They're not finding their yes in the Old Testament or what Moses did. And, of course, there's great things back there. We know and understand that. Don't misunderstand me. But the yes of God's promises are found today in the fact that Christ came, that Christ paid the debt for you, and he rose again. God's saying, if that cannot get you to believe his promises, nothing will. I feel like I'm still not making the connection, because it's just something that's got to go off in your heart that says, you know what? That's right. God is going to do this. God is going to show up. God is going to perform those promises. He is going to do his word in my life, because my goodness, he raised Jesus from the dead for me. I believe it with all of my heart. God is working, and I am going to boldly let the amen come from my mouth to the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Christ is the guarantee for the promises. Christ is the guarantee. You know? And say, well, Pastor, I just need some, you know, deeper teaching on this. No, you don't need any deeper teaching. This is simply, these promises are yes in Christ. God doesn't have to do anything more to convince you. Are you convinced? If you are not convinced by the resurrection and the salvation of Christ, then nothing's going to convince you. Oh, come on. I've just decided I'm convinced. I'm convinced that Christ was more than enough. I'm convinced that his resurrection was the rubber stamp of God's approval for me to just simply believe his promises. Oh, praise the Lord. Go back to the book of Hebrews. Go to chapter 10. Hallelujah. Well, I say, Pastor, it's not very clever. I really know this. Well, we can know this in our mind, but do we know it in our heart? And it just kind of, it just came alive in my heart to provoke your faith with the promises of God. My goodness, how something so simple can become light on the inside of your spirit and you know, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. And of course, 2 Corinthians 1:20 told us what to do. It says that we speak it. We speak it. Amen. What are you saying God's going to do in your life? What are you saying that God is either doing currently or is going to do in your life? If you say, I'm not saying anything like that, well, then you're putting your faith at risk, right? Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, we should live a life that says, you know, God is constantly strengthening me. God is keeping me in his healing. God is satisfying me with long life. Amen. You know, God is raising up my children, right? Great is their peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is keeping me in his health. He is keeping me in his full provision. Father, you have furnished me in abundance. I never lack any good thing. I'm abounding in the blessing of God. Praise the Lord. You know, and so many times these circumstances are trying to drudge you down and get your speaking, you know, caught up, slowed down. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let's go over there. You know, it's just a simple message. And we're going to get into it even more. Hebrews 10:23, here again, this is what we do. Now, in the King James, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Now, you know that word profession, it doesn't mean what job or career you have. The word profession means to profess or to confess, or it means to speak. It says, let us hold fast the speaking of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. All right? When we put down our speaking, it's because we don't believe God's faithful. When we stop talking, we are basically telling God that we don't trust him. All right? But the scripture says if you will keep professing your faith, all right? If you'll keep speaking that promise, all right? Without wavering, it's because you believe that God is faithful. God is faithful. Doesn't that just give you your answer right there? If you will just cling to that, I mean, you could just find one promise concerning whatever it is that you need or what you're going through or whatever. If you'll hold to that one promise, if you'll say it every day, it will manifest in your life. You know, getting answers isn't difficult. It's not difficult. The question is, will we do it? You know? And I know, well, Pastor, you know, this is a faith message, and we've heard this before, and we know about talking. Well, we can get slack on it. We can all of a sudden slow down and realize, I'm not saying anything concerning faith anymore. I'm not saying anything concerning my health. I'm not saying anything concerning my job. I'm not saying anything concerning my kids. I'm not professing any scriptures. I'm not speaking over these areas in my life. Come on now. God is faithful. If he promised it, and if we will keep speaking it and declaring it, it will manifest in this life. Praise the Lord. Go with me to Romans. Wow, we're just cooking through here tonight. Go to Romans, and let's go over, before we go to chapter 4, let's go to chapter 8. And you know where I'm going with this one. You know, maybe my favorite verse in the book of Romans, Romans 8:32. And you know what? 31 is so good. Why don't we just start right there? Well, I say, well, Pastor, this is our Wednesday night group. This is the group that, you know, represents, you know, some of the most faithful and people that serve in the ministry. Listen, whether you are whether you've been a pastor for 50 years or you're someone that just got saved, You need to practice this, know this. We need to hear this over and over and over again. Oh, my goodness. Because God is not being slow towards you. God is not delayed. He is not late. He has not forgotten. Come on. If you let circumstances or discouragement slow you up, trip you up, and all of a sudden you're not speaking anymore, that can slow some things down. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, there it is. God's not against you. God is for you. He's got a plan right now. He's got promises. Who was that missionary that Brother Hagin spoke about? Remember the gentleman that was, he was serving the Lord and things didn't look like they were going well, and they asked him about it. He said, oh, nothing to fret. And this was, of course, I believe, near 100 years ago. I don't remember all the details of it. But remember the gentleman who said, oh, there's nothing to fear. I got 25 cents in my pocket and all the promises of God. Remember that? He said, nothing to be concerned about. I got 25 cents in my pocket and all the promises of God. Amen. Listen, I'm just here to tell you tonight, just because I know in 2019, remember about the second or third week of January, remember when I stood on this pulpit and I said that something just seemed to fall spiritually, you know, and it represented, you know, some hard times and trials and things like that. Listen, I know that there's been people that have been walking through some stuff, but I'll tell you what, this is your answer. Listen, I'm here to tell you that thing, that season isn't going to last forever. That thing's going to fade out. That wind's going to blow out. That season's going to change. And standing on the other side of it will be you declaring the amen, the promises of God. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm not just here to have some, you know, light, happy service here or something, because I don't have many of those. But I'm here to tell you the joy comes in the morning. I'm here to tell you that that day doesn't last forever. That season is not going to be able to withstand. That thing's going to break. The season's going to change. Amen. Better things are on the way. God has not forgotten about you. He's not slow. He's not delayed. He's not running late. He's for you, and what can stand against you? Praise the Lord. And I tell you what, God's people need to get a backbone and not get so dismayed, well, the job this, or, you know, people did this, or this happened, or whatever, or it's not going as well as I thought, and where's this? I'll tell you, it is on the way. Praise the Lord. God be for us, what can stand against us? That's what we say to these things, because verse 32, and of course, you know, we could just quote it all probably together without even reading it out of the Bible. But let's read it. It says, he that spared not his own son. Here is your motivation why God's going to perform all the rest of these promises. Amen. He that spared not, he spared nothing for you. Spared nothing. Remember that old, the original Jurassic Park movie? Remember that old guy in there? Spared no expense. Spared no expense. Spared no expense. God is saying to you over and over, I've spared no expense for you. I've done it before. I am still actively doing it in your life. I spared nothing for you, even a part of myself. Think about this. His own son, he delivered him up for us all. Here is the greatest bit of biblical logic that will provoke your faith. This next statement. How shall God not with Christ also freely give us all things? You say, what do you mean? That's Bible logic or Bible reasoning? Well, yeah, that's Holy Ghost reasoning. The Holy Ghost says, you know, basically saying, if you have the faith to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have more than enough faith to receive anything, because you've received already the greatest thing that he has. There's nothing more valuable that he could give you. There's nothing more for him to spare. He did not hold anything back. Can you bring up Psalm 84:11 for us? How shall he not also in Christ freely give us all things? Oh, come on now. Glory to God. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I love that verse. Wasn't planning on preaching on it, you know. But I love it because it says God will withhold nothing. Boy, he certainly proved that 2,000 years ago. The one thing that hurt him the most to give, and he gave it. And yet we struggle to believe that our bills will be paid. Or we struggle to believe that our bodies will be healed. Or we struggle to believe that our minds will be free. You know, I'll tell you what, go back now to Romans 8:32. But if he spared nothing to give you salvation, don't you think he can help you with a better job? Don't you think he can restore your marriage? Don't you think he can free your mind from depression? If you'll sit and you'll meditate on Romans 8:32, you will go before God. If you believe he gave his son, I would not give one of my sons, I wouldn't give a fingernail off them for any of you. I wouldn't. But God gave us his son that he was eternally connected with. He had never been apart from his son. His son did nothing wrong. His son was perfect. His son was part of himself. His son was holy. All the universe, the Bible says, everything that was made by him and for him. Even our very existence was a gift from a father to a son. Everything on earth can be solved with good parenting. Why? Because everything in the universe was made by a father to a son. Everything that has ever existed has come from the love of a father and a son, or a child and a parent. Glory to God. And if he gave you that, why are you struggling to believe for that next step or whatever it is you're believing for, that promise you're trying to receive? It's a baby step compared to what you received when you got born again. If we would boldly take Romans 8:32 and plug in the thing that you need or you're believing God for, how shall he not with him also freely cause his health to be alive in my body? How shall he not also freely bestow the peace of mind upon me? Or whatever it is, how shall he not also provide you with a better living or something, whatever it is you're believing God for, if you need a job or what have you. How shall he not with Christ freely restore our marriage? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if it excites you, but it excites me, because the second half of Romans 8:32, if you will get the light of the Word of God, the revelation of this Word, I mean, I'll tell you, there's nothing that you won't struggle to receive anything from God. Amen. And I'm not talking about frivolous things, you know. I'm talking about God promises here. Go over to chapter 4. Go to Romans chapter 4. And let's see this at work again in Abraham's life. Hallelujah. You know, some of us have been sitting around complaining about stuff when we should be declaring some stuff. Praise the Lord. Everything, listen, sometimes you're in a sowing season more than you're in a reaping season. All right? And also, if you have not done your homework to go find the promises of God, if you don't know what they are, you can't receive them. And I mean chapter and verse. I'll tell you, we are living in the laziest Christianity that has ever been on this earth in the last 2,000 years. I was speaking with a gentleman, and when I say this, I don't say this, you know, in any kind of attacking way. He was a really, really nice guy, and I was talking to him at the pool. At the pool, there was a lot of good things going on at the pool. This was just not one of them. But this was the day before, and I was talking to this gentleman, you know, about the pool, and he started, you know, talk about church and things, and you know, he said he was a Christian as he was drinking a cocktail. But that's all right. Well, no, it's not, but you know what I mean. I wasn't there to judge him, but again, and I got, you know, talking to him, and he was a really nice guy. And he went on to, you know, talk about his son and how his son you know, was part of a church and stuff. And he said, you know, he said something that just stuck out. And again, he said a lot of great things. And this is not personal. I'm not trying to make it attacking. But he said something. Of course, I refrained my tongue. I was very patient and nice. But he said, yeah, you know, I found the rock and roll Jesus, is what he said. And you can imagine what I wanted to say. I wanted to say, well, the rock and roll Jesus is no Jesus at all. Because he's not rock and roll Jesus. He's Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. That's what, you know, that was building up. But I just, you know, was patient and nice. And, you know, sometimes it's not the place. You know what I mean? Pick your spots. All right. Choose your battles wisely. I wasn't, you know, it was casual. It was a 5-minute conversation. It wasn't going to go much longer and things like that. And so I was not going to just lambaste some stranger. It wasn't about attacking someone personally or anything like that. He was a really wonderful guy. But, you know, my son, he introduced me to the rock and roll Jesus. You know, and see, the rock and roll Jesus is okay with Christians drinking. The rock and roll Jesus is okay with a casual Christianity, but the Jesus of the Bible is not. The Jesus of the Bible wants faith. The Jesus of the Bible wants purity. You know, the Jesus of the Bible wants sacrifice. Jesus of the Bible wants us to regard our body as a temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, and it just, you know, made me realize just, you know, and of course, I get in a lot of conversations like that, and sometimes it's even with pastors and things. And, you know, the modern Christian church in America is so deluded and so weak, so emotional, so touchy-feely, so Hallmark, so rock and roll or so entertainment-based or whatever. I tell you what, there is a major wake-up call for this nation, for the church in this nation, and I'm not saying it because I want anything bad to happen to anybody, but my goodness, we better be careful how casual and cool we think the King of Kings is. You know, and it just made me realize, you know, that weak and, you know, that casual Christianity that's on this earth, because that kind of Christianity is not boldly declaring the things of the Word. Because I'm bringing that back to, if you don't know the promises of God. See, the devil will love you to just show up, have your casual, you know, rock and roll church. You know, you leave, you're not changed, and you're right back at the pool having cocktails with all the sinners. There's no change. You don't look anything different. You know? And it's just like, now Jesus is cool. Jesus is a homeboy. Jesus is, you know, my buddy. See, that kind of relationship with Jesus does not convict the soul. It doesn't change the mind. All right? We have to bring something to the table with God that moves the heart of God. And it's faith. And it's His Word. Amen. It's believing Him. And again, you know, you can come in. There's no, demand to study in a life like that. You know? The rock and roll Jesus doesn't inspire you to get home and dig into your Bible and start pulling those promises out. You know, the rock and roll Jesus says, you know, you're okay. Just show up on Sunday, you know, bring your mocha latte into service, jam out with the band, see the laser lights, hear a weak little, you know, message from the pulpit, walk out in the same and go right back to the party. But see, when you're under the conviction of the Holy Ghost, there's got to be something that, you know, comes up inside you and says, I got to know more about this. I got to dig these promises right out of the Bible. And I got to be the real thing. Because I'm not okay with this casual Christianity that's going on the earth. Someone somewhere has got to declare the promises of God boldly. Amen. Someone has got to look and judge their own life, not others. You know, and I'm not trying to judge that man. I'm just saying, but look what that shows. I had no idea that was a Christian man. Had no idea. Someone somewhere has got to look at their life and say, you know, I demand better for myself. meaning I demand better of myself for the purposes of the Lord. Got to go higher. I can't stay where I'm at. I've not arrived at anything. I'm not just coasting through this Christianity. Anyway, see, I said all that because that casual rock and roll Jesus doesn't make a student out of anybody. I don't know about you, but I want to be a student of the Bible. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 4. And let's look at how Abraham did this. And let's go over there. Let's start in verse, well, oh, it's so good. I thought I could take this passage and maybe, you know, cut it in half and we'd still get the benefit of it. But go back up there to verse 17. I was going to start in verse 20. But we got to start up here at verse 17. Of course, you know what this is talking about. This is the promise of God that God made Abraham. Remember the promise that we've inherited? God will treat us just like he treated Abraham. Do you know that? Do you know when you pray in Jesus' name, God regards you and as just like he would regard a patriarch? Do you understand that? Do you realize that you have complete right standing and access to go before the throne of God? He's not like the all-powerful Oz who's hiding behind the curtain. He says, come on in, see me for real. Go to verse 17. This is God dealing with Abraham. Of course, the promise that was given to him to have a son. Remember when it was naturally impossible. Abraham was 75 years old when verse 17 was spoken to him. It says, as it is written. I love this. God quotes his own word. Don't you like that? He could have just said, well, I said. He said, but it's written. I have made you a father of many nations, God says to Abraham. And of course, you know the name Abraham means father of nations. It says, before him whom he believed, even God, it tells us what God does, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. That's the faith of God, to call those things that be not as though they were. What things are not in your life, but you could say as though they were? Couldn't you say that about a loved one? Someone that's living a life, and they're, maybe you have friends or family that's living in sin, and they don't know Christ, and they're not living a life for God. Couldn't you start by faith declaring them? Couldn't you say, by the, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, that person is serving God with their whole heart, even though they're naturally not doing that? But that's what faith is. You know, I call, you know, you could call out your loved one. You say, I call them saved in Jesus' name. I call them faithful in Jesus' name. Right? You can call bills paid. You can call bodies healed. Though there may be, you know, something wrong with it, in the natural, you still say, in the name of Jesus, I am the healed of the Lord, even if there's pain in your body. Right? Because God, he makes alive the dead, and he calls those things that be not as though they were. That means, remember what the scripture said of Jesus? Remember he was a lamb slain before the foundations of the earth? God called him a lamb slain before he was ever a lamb slain. Right? God had a plan of salvation that he put to work. Right? How does God quicken the dead? That word quicken means make alive. He calls those things that be not as though they were. He called Jesus out of death into life. He called you and I out of death into life. God who makes alive the dead, he will raise you spiritually from the dead. He will heal your body when it looks like it's dying. He will heal, restore a marriage that looks like it's dead. He will bring a child out of, you know, worldly living into the things of God. Come on now. Anyway, verse 18. It says, Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope, meaning he had no natural reason to believe any of it would happen, but he still, the word hope here means joyful expectation. He had no natural joyful expectation, but he still held on to a joyful expectation that he would become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. Aren't you glad Abraham believed God? And being not weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body now dead. See? Why? Because he knows I'm dealing with the God that quickens the dead. He says, naturally speaking, my body can't perform what it needs to do here, right? And so he says, but God makes alive the dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was, for all practical purposes, in this situation, he was dead. Sarah, for all practical purposes, was dead. But he did not consider it dead. He considered the one who raises the dead to life. Come on now. Your financial situation, God can breathe life into that. But only if you will speak and call those things that be not as though they were. Now, verse 20 is what I'm trying to get to. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to Abraham for righteousness. Why did God make Abraham, why did he consider Abraham righteous? Simply because of verse 21. Go back up to verse 21. Because Abraham believed that what God promised, he would perform it. You know, that is what made God impute the stamp of righteousness upon Abraham. He received righteousness not by the act of the law. He received righteousness by an act of faith. What does God want from us today? He wants us simply to be persuaded that what God said he would perform, he's able to perform it. It is so easy to please God. It's so easy if you will just believe what God wrote in his Bible, the promises that he made to you. If you will go to him and boldly say, Father, I believe this promise. I mean, if you will take his own word, he uses his own word. He quotes his own Bible. Actually, what verse is it that's talking? It's right in this same the scenario with Abraham. God, it says that he had no higher to swear by, so he swore by himself. All right? I mean, think about that. You know, God said, you know, there's no one more trustworthy in me, so I'll just swear by me. I'll promise it based on myself. I mean, my goodness, if we would be fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able to perform. And then in verse 22, God said to Abraham, that's what I'm looking for. Someone who will simply believe what I promised. Now, if you will go back and you will find promises, see, that's why people, they don't enjoy reading the Bible. See, because when they read the Bible, they're reading a book. When we read the Bible, we're reading promises. We're reading promises. You know, I'm not just sitting here, well, I'm going to read because if I read so many chapters, God will like me more. No, God doesn't like you anymore. He doesn't like you at all. He loves you. Yeah, praise the Lord, you know. And so many times we read the Bible or we do these things because we think it's a religious practice or a duty or something like that. But when you read the scriptures, I take it personally. I say, you know, God said that to me. That's a promise to me. And I'm not just reading a book. I'm not just reading, you know, for some spiritual ritual here. I'm reading the promises. You know, if there was a will left to you that was loaded with goodies, wouldn't you want to read it? You know, and you've heard me use this illustration 1,000 times. I told you, there's nothing new tonight. There's nothing clever. Hey, that even sounds like the book of Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun, you know? But if, you know, great Uncle George, who had a Fortune 500 company, left a will or an inheritance, and someone told you, your name is in it. The only thing is, it's in a book about this size. And all you have to do is just read it until you find what was left for you to have. I guarantee you, you'd read it. You would take vested personal interest in what is said right here. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm excited about the word, not because I was hit on the head so hard earlier this week. I'm just excited to be back. And I believe that God's people and in this church need to be provoked and stirred to faith. And what is it that is going to lock in your heart and make you come to a point where you say, I know I got it. I have it. Because he spared not his own son. Praise the Lord. You know, I am the healed of the Lord because he spared not his own son. I walk in the peace and joy of the Lord because he spared not his own son. He furnishes me in abundance because he spared not his own son. Amen. I walk in the strength. He satisfies me with long life. Praise the Lord because he spared not his own son. My children will grow, are taught of the Lord, great is their peace, because he spared not his own son. Right? Their mighty seed upon the earth. Right? The generation of the upright, they're blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in their house, and their righteousness shall endure forever. Psalm 112, verse 2 and 3. Because he spared not his own son. All the promises of God are yes. I don't know if I've helped you, but I've certainly helped me. Because if, you know, you're in a place where you're believing God for some things, you need not look any further than digging into those promises and say, that promise is yes, because Christ rose again. Amen. I mean, what if you took 15 minutes, a half hour, you know, you soberly, you know, took a, you know, you just took a, you know, a sober look at your life and said, okay, this is where I'm at. This is where, you know, the Lord has me. I believe this general direction. But what is it in my life that I'm believing God for? I mean, I don't know about you, but things aren't, I don't just believe that you just coast through this Christianity and things just always stay the same. I believe we should be reaching for more. Reaching for more. What are you believing God to do in your life, for your church, for your job or your business, for your kids, for your marriage? What if you took the 15 minutes to 30 minutes, or maybe what if it took an entire hour? Imagine, you know, it's amazing to me how Christians will sit down to movie after movie after movie after movie that are all 2 hours in length, you know, but they won't sit down for an hour in the Bible. Anyhow, praise the Lord. You know, but what if you took that time and you developed a list with a couple scriptures for each promise that you were believing God for? And what if you went to those verses and you said, Father, I believe my children are taught the Lord, great is their peace, because you spared not your own son. Father, I am healed by the stripes that were laid upon Christ's back because you spared not your own son. What if you believed God with that kind of boldness? It wouldn't take long. You know, honestly, when I pray, I will have a lot of verses. You know, when I pray to God, I bring a lot of verses, you know, to the table. You know, because God hears his own word. Amen. And you will have to remind him all the time, you know, what you're believing him for. This is simple. This is really simple. You know, this was no clever teaching here tonight. This was not like some, you know, new thing for many of you, but folks, do it. I'm telling you, this is the end of that season. Whatever that thing was that fell back in January, we're declaring its end. You know, you say, well, not everybody has faced some great, huge thing. But there was a lot of folks, you know, going through stuff, something that just seemed to fall, you know, back in January. I tell you what, faith is how you put an end to it. Faith is how you change that season. Speaking, digging, be a student. You can sit there, listen, folks, praying in tongues does not negate or it does not cover what you don't know in the Word. You got to study the Word. You say, well, Pastor, I just take time and the only thing I do is pray. Well, praying does not educate you in the Word. Prayer should be educated prayer. Prayer should be the prayer of a disciple. Prayer should be the prayer of a student who knows, God, you said this, and therefore I believe it. Amen. And so I guess we're going to end on this question. What are you going to do about it? What list are you going to form? What is it that you're going to say every day? What is it that you're believing for? Don't go looking for the rock and roll Jesus, because the rock and roll Jesus will never challenge you to do this. The casual Jesus, you know, the entertainment church will never give you a homework assignment, you know, to go and dig through the promises of God. And that's what you're reading when you're reading the Bible. You are reading God's love letter to you. And he just went, he said, look at Abraham. He had no natural reason to think it would happen. His life looked like it was over. His wife's life looked like it was over. You know, everything was against him naturally, but he still just boldly said, I believe you're the one that raises the dead back to life. I believe that what you've promised, you're going to perform it. And God said, that's what I'm looking for. When God sent Jesus to this earth, he was trying to make a bunch of little Abrahams running around. You know what I mean? He wanted more that would simply release their faith in the promises of God. But if we're not careful, even in this church, if we're not careful, we will just come to services like this, we'll come to Sunday mornings, we'll go home, and we will never find ourselves digging in the promises of God. Because that's where it's at. Amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Well, praise the Lord. Let's go ahead, let's stand to our feet, and let's just wait on the Lord for a few moments. Let's just worship him. Let's just thank him for how good he is. Father, we just praise you tonight. Father, all your promises in Christ are yes, and the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Father, we praise you tonight. Father, your word says that the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and you add no sorrow to it. Father, your word says that you'll satisfy us with long life, Father, and show us your salvation. Father, we praise you. Father, your word says that angels would go before us and no evil would befall us, no plague near our dwelling. Father, you said that your angels would hold us up and bear us up in their arms, lest we dash our feet against one stone. Father, we thank you. Lord, you said all of our children would be taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. Father, we thank you for it. These things are yes and amen in Christ. Father, because you spared not your own son. Father, you said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Father, we are redeemed from sin. Father, we are redeemed from sickness and disease. Father, we glorify you. Father, all because you spared not your own son. Father, we believe it. And it's simple. It's what you want. It's what moves your heart for us to simply just take you at your word. Father, we thank you, Lord God. Lord, you said that it is you that give us power to get wealth. Father, you said that it would establish your covenant with us as it did with our forefathers, according to Deuteronomy 8:18. Father, over there in Deuteronomy 28, verse 11 and 12, it says you would make us plenteous in goods. Father, it said that you would fill our storehouses. Father, you said that you would make us the lender, not the borrower. Father, you said that you've made us above, not beneath. We're the head, not the tail. Father, we believe it in Jesus' name. Father, we believe that the best promises and best covenant that you've ever had with mankind is on this earth and available to us right now. Father, all because Jesus rose again. He rose again. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father God. Praise you, Father. Father, we believe that we're strengthened with all might of the Holy Ghost to our spirit because you spared not your own son. Father, we praise you. We are translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and we're translated into the kingdom of your dear son because you spared not your own son. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you, Father. We magnify your holy name. Blessed is your name. Father, you told us that we would tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us because you spared not your own son. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Father, we love your word. Father, we thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost. Blessed is your name. We worship him. Let's just worship him, everybody. Let's just take a few moments. Father, we just worship you. Lord, if there's anything that you'd like us to do here tonight, we'll do it. Father, we just submit ourselves to you. Father, your word is so good. It is life to those that find it, health to all of our flesh, because you spared not your own son. Thank you, Father God. Glory to you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Worship you. Father, we just worship you. You are so faithful and good. Thank you, Father. You surround us with favor like a shield because you spared not your own son. You are a sun and a shield. You give grace and glory because you spared not your own son. Father, we would have fainted and quit unless we believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living because you spared not your own son. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. You sent your word and you healed us according to Psalm 107, verse 20, because you spared not your own son. Father, we're going to walk in your strength. We are going to walk in the power of faith. We just love you and praise you. Father, you have made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because you spared not your own son. We believe it. We believe what you've said about us. Father, you said that we're blessed with faithful Abraham over there in Galatians chapter 3. So we believe it because you spared not your own son. Thank you. We are the seed of Abraham. We have inherited the promises. Father, we lack no good thing. We thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we believe in the benefits of God. You forgive all of our sin. You heal all of our diseases. Father, our youth is renewed like the eagles. You will satisfy our mouth with good things. Father, you are abundant. You are strong on our behalf. Father, we believe you. Father, we don't have anything good apart from you. And so, Father, we love you tonight. And Father, I just believe that this is a group of people that will make that list. Father, they'll do their homework. And Father, we don't consider you the rock and roll Jesus. And Lord, we're not trying to criticize somebody who said that. It's just ignorance. But Father, we see that mentality is prevailing in the church today. Lord Jesus, you're the Lord of lords. You're the King of kings. We just worship you, love you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Father, we're going to receive the offering here tonight because it's a joy to give to you and to your church. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to give. And Father, every time we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. Father, we thank you so much for this local church. And Father, we thank you for every local church that preaches your word. And Father God, the last thing I'd ever want to do is speak against you or what you're doing in someone's life. Father, that's of course not my heart. But Father, we want the full, unadulterated word of God in our life. We just worship you and praise you. Father, we thank you. We give to you tonight because we love you. Father, because you first loved us. Father, we're here to serve you, worship you with our giving. Father, we're here to promote the house of God on this earth. Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Praise the Lord. You get some help here tonight. Again, I knew coming into this, this service, that it wasn't going to be, again, you know what I mean when I say it wasn't going to be anything clever. It wasn't going to be anything that most of you haven't heard before. But it was by the Spirit of God, and it stirs you up. It stirs you up. Well, folks, we have a big weekend coming upon us here. Reverend Randy Greer is going to be here. Of course, Erie Saturday night. You're welcome to be there if you'd like. But, of course, Sunday morning at our normal 10:30, we will have Sunday school. I'll be teaching Sunday school just like we've been doing. And Reverend Randy Greer will be here for our worship service. And then, of course, 7 o'clock Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday night, there will be childcare available. If you could sign up to serve in KA or LA, it would be a terrific blessing. Folks, how do you help your local church? Show up to those meetings. Of course, do it for the Lord. All right, do it for his plan in your life, but do it for your pastor. All right, do it for your local church. Do it for your church family. It's important. We don't just hold these meetings because it's like something we have to do. It's a God-ordained appointment, and let's take that very serious. So many people these days, they will rearrange their schedule to be at doctor's appointments or dentist appointments or whatever. Hey, if we had to go out of our way and convenience ourselves to make it possible to be in church, let's do it. Let's do it. Amen. Father God, we just love you. We praise you. Father, I command your blessing on this wonderful church family. Father, we just say that we are growing closer to the Father in 2019. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted.